after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Interesting day of football so far, with plenty more to come this weekend. So what have you made of it? What do you hope to make of it tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, Almaty, signings, sack the board, 8 changes and a 3-0 win against Livingston. Off to Kazakhstan tomorrow. Sum that all up for us. Where are you with some of the above? Get your calls in, please. Motherwell and Hearts fans, what a game. Might be tough to beat that. Motherwell playing some brilliant stuff. 3-0 up and pegged back to 3-all. Might even have lost it in the end as well. What did you make of that one? Partick Thistle fans, it's another good win in Dingwall. I know you hate the place, I know you get bad memories of it, but that's a couple in a row now up there. Mark Wilson getting that championship point on the board. So again, calls in right now, please. And tomorrow, St Mirren fans, how, I wonder how you're feeling in all of this, because all of a sudden everybody on the outside has got you pegged as some sort of favourite for this game against Rangers. Does that make you uneasy? Do you prefer to fly under the radar and go in as underdog, or do you think you can relish the perceived crisis going on and take advantage of it? Let us know, please. 0141 951 1025. Paddy is on the line. Paddy, what did you make of that today from Celtic?
Yeah, well, firstly, Gordon, you get man of the match in terms of that second half performance, because you managed to maintain your professionalism, and you must have felt like bursting into tears.
That wasn't great, I have to admit. They can read my face from the other side of the desk.
It was commendable how you
managed to keep going. I appreciate the well wishes. Football was the winner on the day, a good 3-all draw. What about your own team?
Well, you know, it was Mr. Keevans that said this was mission impossible for Celtic today with that lineup. And yeah, well, it's not the first prediction he's got wrong, granted. But yeah, I'm just delighted. You know, I was excited actually with the lineup. You know, I didn't have, you know, that kind of trepidation or fear. I was like, this is great. Let's see what they've got to offer. And if Brendan Rodgers is confident enough to give them a starting berth, then, you know, who am I to not get excited about that? And the players, I thought, performed excellently. I thought Scales was very composed, excellent at the back. And you know, just the new players, they performed very well, and even Yang performed well. So I'm not getting over the top with this, because we're playing against Livingston. However, you know, we still had a job to do, and I thought they performed very well. And the negativity surrounding Celtic, it's been way over the top. I don't get it. Maybe I'm just getting long in the tooth. But, this is the same every season with Celtic, I think, since Dermot Desmond's been in charge of the club. The transfer window, Celtic always look for value for money. You know, the bigger deals are always done near the end. And that is not going to change. All this nonsense about sack the board. You know, they've just been, in effect, you know, the mainstream media have done their job. You know, they do it every season. They whip the fans up into a frenzy when they know what's going to happen.
Do you think that's very patronising to your fellow Celtic fans, Paddy? You try to tell me your fellow Celtic fans get annoyed at what's happening because Hugh Keevans tells them to. Not got minds of their own. I think that's quite disrespectful to your fellow Celtic fans, to act like it's some sort of media witchcraft that's made them want more signings in this season.
Well, it's a snowball effect. Certainly not just Mr. Keevans, for goodness sake.
I was obviously being a bit facetious, but like, you seriously think that's what it is? You think all this is the media are painting some sort of unfair picture? It's just a fact that Kyogo left and wasn't replaced. It's just a fact that Nicholas Kuhn left and wasn't replaced. There's nothing me or Hugh or the Daily Record or the Sun or STV could say about that to change it. Surely your fellow Celtic fans, they know their stuff. They know their team. They know what they're seeing.
Well, clearly they don't know their stuff, because Celtic conduct their business like this Every single season that Dermot Desmond has been in charge, there are no exceptions to this rule. Dermot Desmond always looks for value for money. You look across the businesses he's got, the successful business empire he's got, that's what he does. And that,
Paddy,
is not going to change.
Paddy,
near the end of the transfer window, you will see Celtic delivering, if they can, in terms of any potential players that they're trying to recruit.
What if they're out of the Champions League by then, though? They might not be, of course, but what if they are?
Well, if they are, they are. You know, I mean, that's... you know, there's no guarantees in football. There's no guarantees that you could have said, if you'd have brought those, or if you had paid over the odds for players who, incidentally, I think the type of player that they're going for, they're not going to come to Scotland to play football without knowing that Celtic
Listen,
done all right in the last few years, bringing players to not play.
Paddy is one of these apologists. You know, he's run down the Celtic supporters. If I had said what he said about the Celtic supporters, we'd be putting a cordon around this building. He's accusing the Celtic supporters of being unable to think for themselves. And he goes on about the player trading model and how Dermot Desmond does his business towards the end. Well, that takes us back to Adam Eder. On the last day of the transfer window, Celtic paid £9 million for Adam Eder, who isn't worth a fraction of that. So, they also go to Kazakhstan tomorrow morning with their tie against Karat Almaty in the balance. And that's because not enough was done during the transfer window to send Celtic there in a better shape. And the major players, Kyogo, Kun, Jota, their absence, either through injury or transfers out of the building, that issue has not been addressed. And that's why the supporters are upset. And to say, well, that's that then, if they don't make the Champions League, I'm afraid that's not much of an explanation. That's that then.
I think where Paddy's bang on, Gordon, though, today is like, and I like the way he struck the balance, because you're not going to go over the score about beating Livingston, but at the same time, there probably was like people waiting for Celtic to fail today, and it was an experimental team, and players did have to go and, you know, do their job, and they did it well.
Yeah, I do agree. I think all eyes were on Celtic Park, especially you getting 0-0. You can probably hear the boos ringing in your ears. He made 8 changes today. I know that you look at that team and you're thinking, right, it's not really exciting me, because you want a stronger depth in squad. Of course you do. You want it more players in. But at any time at all, I'm looking thinking, Celtic Football Club, it's Livingston. Livingston would need to have had a massive day in Celtic, a real off day. Listen, they were comfortable 3-0.
Damien, let's bring Damien in as well and see what he thinks. Damien, take it away.
Just to talk about the last caller that was on there, Gordon, I think you hit the nail on the head. Patronising is the only word that comes to mind. He was absolutely miles off it, talking about Dermot Desmond and value for money. We're a team that have just paid £9 million for Adam Eder, £11 million for Arne Engels, because the board waited so long to act in the transfer window. We're about to gamble £40 million. It doesn't sound like value to money to me. He's an absolute landlord, and every fan in that stadium today chanting sack the board was absolutely bang on.
I'm not like Hugh. Hugh feels a bit more protective of the media at large, and if they get criticised, I don't really care. But I felt that comment in particular, Hugh, was just almost kidding yourself on, because the facts are there in terms of what's not in the team, and you can't spin, you can't rearrange Brendan Rodgers' words when he stands with a camera on his face and talks about, I'm not the guy to maintain. That's where it comes from. You've got thousands of fans, you've got banners, you've got this. So the notion that it's just some sort of, you know, deliberate negativity against Celtic is just, it doesn't even stand up to any scrutiny, really.
Some Celtic supporters like Paddy, and they tend to be of an older variety, they love to think that everything is a media concoction to do down Celtic. But Damien on the line can see exactly the truth of the matter here, that they have made bad signings at bad times, and the team as it stands at the moment is in decline because they haven't got the Coons and the Kyogos, and the board are doing nothing about it.
How important was that today though, Damien? You know, just given everything, given the Almaty thing and the negativity that's going around and the changes that had to be made, how important was that?
Everything's been at home, but Gordon.
No, I know, but that's almost what I'm saying. That then became, somehow that became a way more important Livingston at home than it otherwise would.
I think most folk in the stadium today, myself included leaving, don't feel any more confident about where the squad is. Aye, guys like Inamura come in, who fans have been crying out for to get a chance, and looked good, but it's still not enough. That squad isn't good enough. The wingers that are coming off the bench, Forrest, and then who? Nobody. We've got two fit wingers, and Maeda's coming on as a striker. The squad is the worst it's been in a good couple of years, probably since the COVID season.
I can't disagree with that. I think every Celtic fan would agree the fact that you look in the forward areas, I think they're very, very light indeed. As Damien said there, because he witnessed it this afternoon. I just wonder, I still get back to it. I don't think Celtic as a club are sitting there deliberately thinking, we don't need to strengthen, we're not going to spend any money. I just think there must be a communication problem somewhere that they're not getting business done. They must have targets. But they know the situation here.
The communication that's falling down is that a club asks for 5 million and Celtic offer 3. And when the club dig in their heels, Celtic go away. Now, when Nicholas Coon was sold for £17 million, Celtic must have driven a very hard bargain, and good luck to them. So you can't always say when it's boots on the other foot, well, they asked for too much money.
But they just get criticised for overspending. Overspending Adam Eda, yeah, and Ingles, at 9 million, 11 million.
They did that in the last day of the window because the crowd were on their back.
But that doesn't mean the board's got to.
On you go, Damien.
We only had to overspend on Eda and Ingles because the board took so long to take action. Norwich were asking for 6 million for Adam Eda, and the Celtic board refused and refused, and then they put the price up to 9 because they saw the money we were getting for O'Reilly. Augsburg only wanted 11 million for Ingles because he was leaving on deadline day, because we took so long to get our targets in. We went on the pre-season tour to America last year and only managed to bring one goalkeeper who was needed because Joe Hart had retired, and the rest of the business was done after the pre-season tour. You wait that long, you pay a premium price. Everybody knows it in football, and yet we continue to do the same thing, and we're sleepwalking into what I think is going to be another COVID season disaster.
Well, it maybe summed up that today then, because listening to Damien, and he probably does speak on behalf of a lot of Celtic fans, today then sounds like a kind of no-win situation, because you make 8 changes, you protect bodies for Kazakhstan, you win 3-0. If you're talking about domestically, you put that little bit of pressure back on Rangers tomorrow, but actually then you know, you're on a hiding to nothing, because if the victory doesn't matter much to Damien, but the defeat would have. You imagine Celtic had dropped points today?
No, 100%. Listen, today was all about getting 3 points, job done. I think Brendan Rodgers handled it the way he wanted to, by getting these guys, protecting his starters for midweek, not giving them too much game time, reducing the risk of injury or anything happening today in the game. So he's got through that, he's navigated his way. The other thing we're talking about, listen, I agree with Damien, listen, you need to get your business done on a footballing basis. Brendan Rodgers absolutely wants his squad in place when he goes into pre-season. He wants to be able to mould his squad in, prepare himself for all these big European games that Celtic always face early on in the season. So it's not ideal, and I agree with Damien, the further on you go in the windows and you wait, you do pay a premium, because you're waiting. Other teams know you become desperate, so that's when you overpay for players, and Celtic have done that recently.
Any positives to come from today, Damien? Like, you know, Negrin getting 2 and maybe, you know, boosting his chances of carrying that momentum into Europe. Are you taking anything away?
Yeah, there's positives in that Celtic won. It's another 3 points. Big Negrin looked good. The boy Inamura at left back looked good. There's definitely positive to take, but it's a wider issue at Celtic, and that even at 3-0 up, the fans still feel the need to chance sack the board, and they're bang on. And it's the price of the season tickets are up. The price of the pies in the stadium are up. And we don't feel we're getting value for money. That's what fans are annoyed about. Okay, we beat Livingston at home, but the worry is, you're out of the Champions League. We need to go to Ibrox next weekend. You don't want to lose that game. And looking at the squad today, you can't be 100% confident against what's a poor Rangers team.
Yeah, well, you know, you certainly wouldn't go to Ibrox with the team that started today's game. But taking things in chronological order, they'll put pressure on Russell Martin and Rangers tomorrow in Paisley. That's undeniable. There's a 7-point gap there now. Russell Martin will have to dwell on that one overnight. they go to Kazakhstan and they have to find goals. And at the moment, that's the one area of the side. All right, as Damien said, it's Livingston at Celtic Park. They've got goals out of Nygren and Johnny Kenny. That's not going to be the same as going to Kazakhstan. And they have to overcome history. No Scottish side has ever won in Kazakhstan. So it's there in front of Celtic. If they don't make the Champions League, the board will get the blame, not Brendan Rodgers.
It does tell you the size of all this, Gordon. Because I'm not saying this is wrong, but just pointing out that to start the league season, played three, won three, haven't conceded a goal, but it's not going to look in. That's how big all the other stuff is at the moment.
No, it's all about the big tournament, the Champions League, Gordon. They've run a risk here. They've left themselves a little bit short going on to what the biggest game, obviously, for a long, long time. The riches that it brings. That's where Celtic want to be as a club. The fans want to go and see the top teams come to Celtic Park in the Champions League. And they've left themselves a little bit short. Even the fact that, you know, you count and Alistair Johnston been out as well now for 3 months with that hamstring. They're short in the right back position. Forward ears, they're very, very short indeed. So it's going to be a big week for Celtic because they've got two massive games coming up Tuesday and next Sunday.
Some good points, well made, Damien. Thank you very much. 01419511025. What do you make of what you've heard so far? Agreeing, disagreeing? Are you on Paddy's side or Damien's side, if that's the way to split it, Celtic fans? What about the games today as well? Hearts and Motherwell, what a cracker. Paisley tomorrow, post-match reaction to come in. What's happening?
The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon DL, Cammy Bell, Hugh Keevans, all here ready to absorb your thoughts and opinions from today's action. We're looking ahead to tomorrow as well. We can't be too far away from getting post-match reaction in from the managers as well. Let's go to Martin, who's on the line. How are you, Martin?
I'm good, thanks. I hope you're all well.
Great in here, Martin. What made you call?
Two things. First thing is the Celtic fans that sing and sack the board on Wednesday in the day. It wasn't a majority, it was a minority as usual. And it started as usual for the Green Brigade ends. Now, these are fans that throw the toys at the pram every time something doesn't go their way or whatever. Because they don't understand that Celtic have made the ring right to win every game or every trophy. We've already seen what happened in COVID when that happens. I come to an era where Celtic didn't dominate whatsoever. But that's if Mark, you're a true fan, you'll have ups and downs and whatever. Yeah, I totally understand. I'm frustrated as most Celtic fans about the lack of signings. But just because you go and spend maybe 30 million, still doesn't guarantee you'll get through this qualifier. There's no guarantees in life. So, yes, we could do with strengthening. We're low daft, we know that. But there's still no guarantee they got you through. And then it'll happen at any point, if you don't mind.
Does that mean you just like, don't do it though, Martin? Because I mean, of course you're right. Of course there are no guarantees. And you only need to look at last season. When you spend money and it doesn't necessarily bring in guaranteed brilliance. But it's just up until this point, it's like the lack of attempt, I think, for these fans. Like, you'll call them entitled, but they'll just say that they just want standards to stay high. You know, Kyogo left and didn't sign another striker, and Kuhn was sold for good money, and that's a great bit of business. But only if you then go and sign another winger. You know, is that not fair? Is that entitlement to want those things?
Well, 17 million for Kuhn, who only kicked his backside 6 months. Basically, that was it. That's what he kicked in the whole 18 months he was at Celtic. So that's great money. But you can't always identify these players, ready-made replacements for value for money. And you're talking about, no, they want to keep progressing. Of course we do. But you could go and spend another 10, well, that was 26 million the other night sitting on the bench in one of the biggest games of your season. So that tells you we are spending money, but the recruitment hasn't been as good as it should be.
I think you should always have the sort of strategy, though, Hugh, and the attempts. Like, you know, Bruges were a good example. They came to Rangers. That's what clubs of this size do. Like, they're agile. They know what's happening. And once one goes out, one comes in. Now, This is where the bit that Martin's bang on about comes in. That one that comes in might not be as good because there are no guarantees. So That's fair. That doesn't mean you just don't do it for weeks on end and then maybe risk.
Martin is correct when he says there are no guarantees. However, there are safeguards that you can put in place. And by safeguards, I mean, if you lose players of the calibre of Kyogo and Kun and Jota, then you have to put safeguards in place so that you don't go to Kazakhstan minus the kind of forward power that you require. And Martin is critical of his fellow Celtic supporters. I would ask Martin, when a former player such as Chris Sutton, Martin says he doesn't know whether the board are guilty of incompetence or arrogance by not signing players, are you critical of former Celtic players?
Chris Sutton's entitled to his opinion, as other Celtic fans. What I'm saying is, the other night when you're trying to win a major game, do you think chanting sack the board is going to help the team?
But you cannot take away people's right to free expression. They pay.
I don't think he's saying you're not allowed to. He's just asking if it's detrimental. I think that's a fair question, because the atmosphere is all very distracting just now, isn't it?
Well, I've no idea how old you are, Martin, but I would take you back to when the club was in danger of closing down, and it was supporters who reacted, and supporters who provided the money, along with Fergus McCann.
So, no, but again, is this not what we said last night when this came up? I a minute ago defended supporters' rights, and I argued against Martin about, you know, you should be allowed to keep your standards high. But this notion that this is somehow the same as trying to keep the lights on,
but
that, is that where perspective has been lost?
What I'm defending is the right of people to express themselves and to mobilise and to have a view which may conflict with Martin's view. But there is no doubt, to my way of thinking, that the Celtic squad has declined in terms of quality, class and numbers.
Because again, I find myself agreeing with the sort of general sentiment, Cammy, when Martin says you can't always have a ready-made replacement. Fine. Yep. And that's why Celtic didn't replace Kyogo in January.
Mm-hmm.
But what about now? That's not ready-made.
No, again...
I don't know what the opposite of ready-made is, but that's 6 months down the line.
Yeah, the planning's not been in place. And again, listen, Kyogo's left, Kun's left as well, which are two quality players for Celtic, and improved that over a long period of time. I know Martin was saying that Kun only played for 6 months, but again, it was still a good bit of business. I thought he was a fantastic footballer and would have grew in his Celtic shirt if he'd stayed. He left for good money, which was the right business deal to do for Celtic, but for me, they've just not replaced him yet. And I touch on, the longer you go into windows, I feel as if that's when the price escalates. And again, you touch on looking at it from a footballing point of view, that Brendan Rodgers absolutely wants his squad as much as he can. It'll never be perfect, it'll never be always in place for pre-season, but he would want the bulk of his squad in place for pre-season so that he can work with these guys and get them up and running, so they're not behind when they start the season for these huge games. And it escalates the pressure on the midweek game, and we know how much money's riding on it as well.
Yeah, look, I'm sort of in the middle here between Brendan Rodgers and the board, because I can see both sides of it. Now, we keep going back to this, we're leaving it late, and then all of a sudden, the team that we're going in to buy players off, we've got a bargain, and Celtic paid too much for Ida and Ingles, because the board must know that. They run the club brilliantly financially, so the board will know that. So I don't think the board are deliberately going, do you know what, we're going to wait to the last night of the window and then we're going to be held by ransom and we've got to overpay. I don't think that's the case. I think that Brendan Rodgers wants one calibre of player, and I think the board want another one, and they're somewhere in the middle to be found.
Anything to take away from today specifically, Martin?
I thought it was a really enjoyable game.
Yep.
I mean, I've got to be honest, I've seen the lineup and I was a bit, Livingston came on in 18, so hard to break down, always get a difficult game, but I thought, by and large, Celtic were very good today, good control, good goals.
Was Negrin the standout?
For Tuesday, because, well, the standout for me was probably Negrin, and then followed by Dane Murray. I thought he was outstanding today, made one bad pass, but he rectified it with a great block. That's what happens when you play it for the back, but I thought, yeah, man, they were cracking
the
day, so
kind of great hindsight, obviously, because you win the game, so then it is right to not postpone it. You know, you don't get an injury.
Course,
but on a serious note, I wonder if that's, you know, that is part of the thinking. It was always about momentum, even for individuals, because we'll talk about points. You know, there's now this scenario back again where Rangers can be X amount of points behind, but but maybe Benjamin Negrin is now better for that. 100%. You know, having played today, two goals, confidence, chest puffed out, feels better about himself. It's another game with his teammates.
All them players that played today are better for it, because it's game time for them again. For me, it's the, been the perfect scenario for Brendan Rodgers. He's got through the game. It looked as if it was, certainly Martin said, it was a good performance, comfortable victory, which the Celtic fans expect. But when you put a lesser team or get, listen, guys that haven't had as much game time, and you rest your players that will start the game midweek, then there's always that risk element. There's always that question mark, which we were questioning before the show started. So for me, it's worked out absolutely perfect for Brendan Rodgers. He's got guys, extra game time, he's won the game of football, and he moves on full focus on midweek, and it's a massive,
I totally agree. This time of season, Cammy, he would have been foolish not to take that game on. He's made 8 changes, he's got guys up to speed, he's got minutes in their legs. He might need them over the next two or three important games, so he needs to get game time into them. He took the game, Livingston at home. Look, I was going to need a big ass Livingston to get anything. And I know you look at the team and think, oh, what a great opportunity. But there's still big players in that Celtic team that were good enough and showed that today.
Come on, you Motherwell fans and Hearts fans, that's game of the season surely so far. It might take some beating. So what did you make of it? Let us know right now, please, on 01419511025. We'll get post-match reaction from the managers. Thank you to Martin for his thoughts. Benjamin Negrin, Hugh, would he be the obvious beneficiary from today?
Yeah, I thought it was very quiet against Almaty in midweek, but he scored 2 goals. His head's in a better place now. He goes there. Celtic are going to need Negrin. They're going to need Maeda. They're going to need Hatate. The conventional goal scorers spread throughout the team. They're going to really need them, because if they go in front in Kazakhstan, they might yet be in the Champions League, but I still think at the moment it's a long shot.
You just wonder if that changes Brendan Rodgers' thinking, right? He's brought him in there, he's played him Midley Park, plays him in the wide area today, gets 2 goals. He needs bodies in the wide area. Does he bring Ingles back into Midley Park? Forrest, Negrin, and Maeda maybe through the middle. Gives him that bit of pace, bit of experience, well, and obviously Maeda with the goals.
There might be a bit of that forced. Adam, he does get a knee injury and didn't feature at all today.
Johnny Kenny comes on and scores, but you can't see him starting over there in one of the biggest games. So I think that could be interesting to see how he's going to develop that. I think he likes him in the middle of the park, but he's played him wide today, 2 goals, Ingles comes in there, and all of a sudden your front three look not too bad at all.
Yeah, again, it's the confidence thing as well. You've scored 2 goals, you've built momentum from that game. You'll be looking forward to being involved midweek. And again, when you've scored goals and you're confident, you've won a game of football, everything looks completely different for you. So, yeah, listen, I think certainly the front three, as you mentioned there, Daz, does look a little bit more attacking and got goals in them.
I think if Brendan Rodgers was asked directly, he would definitely say this was about a distinction between domestic football and European football. But it's interesting, this Inamura stuff, isn't it? Just how strongly he was in his criticism of Inamura the other day. And again, it was a question about the Champions League squad and why he wasn't in it. But he went quite far in his, you know, like I say, his comments about his defensive deficiencies and how maybe a loan would be better, that sort of thing. Comes in today and plays and does quite well.
Yeah, we hear Celtic fans coming on here and we're quite impressed with him. Maybe listen, the guy's obviously knows what the manager said. He's given an opportunity today. He's maybe went out there with the attitude of I'm going to show you what I'm all about, what I can do here. I'm going to prove you wrong. I did think it was very strange for Brendan to be as critical, I think, as to one
but
of his players.
All about standards, he said. Not a chance of playing the Champions League at this stage, but against Livingston at home, yeah, you'll handle it.
Yeah, where your defensive capabilities are not tested. I don't think Livy attacked
again,
very much.
What Brendan Rodgers, I'm pretty sure, will be delighted with his performance today. Again, he was saying that he's not ready for the Champions League. I don't think he spoke about him being ready for domestic football. And again, he's shown today that he can obviously put in a performance, do a job if he's asked upon. And listen, it might just slightly change Brendan Rodgers' mind. It may be a longer-term project that he's looking at with him and building his confidence and obviously getting him to the standard that he wants. But yeah, listen, he sounds as if he's had a good game today.
Okay, we're going to start the post-match reaction. We're going to hear from the managers next and look ahead to tomorrow, and still more to do from today as well. How will we squeeze it all in? Still keen to hear from you, Motherwell and Hearts fans. That was brilliant today. We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Post-match reaction starting to make its way to us. What about Brendan Rodgers? His thoughts on the performance and changes today?
Yeah, it's a continuation of how we've been domestically and strong defensively, not giving away much, controlling the games, creating opportunities, and yeah, scored very good goals today.
When you make so many changes, Brendan, do you see that as any kind of risk at all when you're kind of changing eight players?
I don't tend to. I think that if you hit Celtic, you've got to be good enough to play in, especially playing at home and when you want to dominate the game. So I was pleased for those guys that come in, Young Ina. I've always said I think that he's come into here, he can play in games of dominance when you have 75-80% and can conserve it. So he did well. I thought Dame Murray was excellent until he tired in the last 15 minutes. I thought he was excellent. Him and Scales, he steadied it. Midfield three worked hard. Benji gets his goals. And then obviously they may introduce a bit more quality in the 60 around the hour mark. And that stabilised the game. And then it was just about how many we could score whilst keeping it tight from behind.
Introduce quality on the hour mark, and that stabilised the game. So says Brendan Rodgers. And therefore his game management was good. He went with the makeshift side, and then at 1-0 he decided, let's stabilise this. And the changes worked. And thereafter, as Brendan said, it was a matter of how many would they score.
Yeah, again, what he's saying there is he didn't feel as if it was a risk making so many changes, bringing these guys in. He knew that the type of game that it was going to be, it was at Celtic Park, they were going to have loads of possession, so he absolutely trusted his players. Whether it had been a different fixture and elsewhere, he maybe would have had to have a different selection, but he certainly was full of confidence that they were going to control the game and win the game today.
And rightly so, because I think he's 100% right. He's got players there that you play with Celtic Football Club, you should be able to, at home, dominating the ball, go and play against Livingston. And they showed that this afternoon.
Trusty won't make it for midweek. Adam Ida's waiting to see, hopefully available, says Brendan Rodgers. And nothing wrong with Simpson Pusey, just not in the squad, not ready yet, says yeah. Brendan Rodgers.
Well, I think if it's with Adam Ida, if it's touch and go like that, I don't see him starting the match at all. And Maeda through the middle, the vast majority of the Celtic supporters would rather see that being the case. And you've got Negrin out wide, and who plays on the other side is up to Brendan Rodgers. But
with James Forrest, surely.
Yeah, yeah. Here's
a wee one you can throw in as well, and it'll be interesting. We talk about if Negrin goes out to the right hand side, Ingles automatically, but would they go for the energy of Luke McCown in there on Tuesday night? Mm-hmm. Give them that bit more energy going forward.
Well, we can debate that at the start of the week. We're in that territory of we might get some managerial reaction out. We've just done Brendan Rodgers. We'll see. The rest could be touch and go. Even if there's no calls at the moment on it, Gordon, I want to reflect on that game at Tynecastle. Where is it a fair result? Is it a good point for both? You know, I mean, you figure out the circumstances and how it came about, a 3-3 draw.
It'll be mixed feelings for both teams. You've got to say that. Look, if you're pitching up there, and your mother will at 3:00, and you're thinking, get a point, be a great point, you'd be delighted with it, move on. Hearts would have been disappointed at home, front of a big crowd, with a point after the squad that they've got at their disposal. But when you go 3-0 up, you're thinking, right, this is a great day for us, 3 points in the bag, down the road, happy as Larry. But all credit to Hearts, and sometimes they need something. Teams need something just to change it. They weren't causing Motherwell any problems. Milne gets a wonder goal, and just gives that belief and that lift back into the Hearts side and the Hearts supporters. Goalkeeper makes a mistake. All of a sudden, you're up against it 3-2. Hearts throw everything at you. So when you reflect on it, there'll be a bit of both mixed emotions for me.
If you're both managers, you use the same four-word description. If you're the Motherwell manager, you say, we were 3-0 and it finished 3-3. How did that happen? And if you're Derek McInnes, How did we go 3 down if we're capable of scoring goals like that? How did that happen?
Motherwell might be the team, Cammy, that can find more positives just because they played genuinely very well. Yep. You know, and they went to Tynecastle and performed in a way that you wouldn't expect. And there was certainly one big goalkeeping error, maybe two. So you maybe think, well, if we play that game again, we win it because, you know, the goalkeeper doesn't make that mistake again.
Yeah, listen, they've got huge positives to take from the game. As you say, Gordon, they played well for a huge spell in the game as well. 60 minutes, really dominated. And then it's a wonder goal as well that sparks Hearts into life. And then you see potentially two goalkeeping errors, or the goalkeeper should have done better at certainly the two goals after that. So yeah, when you break it down, I think Motherwell will be the happier. Probably concerning for Derek McInnes that for 60 minutes of the game they were outplayed, and especially because it's at Tynecastle as well. So I think Derek will be happy that he's got a point out of it at the end. But again, probably a little bit of food for thought for both of them.
If you're in the Motherwell camp just now, you've looked at the start of the season, right? And you've looked at three difficult games, and out of 9 points, you've only picked up three. You know, it's sort of
an unbeaten start against those three teams. Playing well would please you, wouldn't
fine
it?
Fine lines, and that's what I think would probably disappoint the Motherwell manager more today. He had the 3 points in his hands, Gordon, and all credit to Hearts, they come back with a good fight back.
What it did do, though, is perhaps take away some of the criticisms that the final third is going to be an issue. Now, there are other issues that appear today, but the thing that's been in common with the Rangers game, the St Mirren game, and even the win against St Johnstone in the Cup, is that they're getting to the final third, but there's no cutting edge. But they went 3-0 up, you know, they showed a big cutting edge.
It flipped today, didn't it? They were getting all the plaudits for, you know, the way they defended, especially when they had two full-backs in at two centre-half positions, and they were playing out for the back, playing good football, and defensively they were very tight. You get away from home, or even at home, you score three goals, I don't care who you are, you're expecting to go and win the game. You really are. So flipped it today. The guys up front, they produced the goods, and the back door was open three times, which really, really hurt them.
Okay.
The full gamut of emotions. Everybody's happy about some aspects of it. Everybody's unhappy about other aspects of it. You can't be three up and draw 3-3 and be happy. You can't be three down and draw 3-3 and be unhappy.
Let's bring in Brian and take our first nod ahead before we bring the show to a close to tomorrow in Paisley. Brian's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind, Brian?
Well, thanks for letting me on, and hi, panel. Before I go into the point about my team, twice a night, the COVID title has been said, and that was a season, of course, that Celtic failed to win their 10. Right, it certainly hurts them, no doubt about it. If I can just remind them, there was no fans in the stadium, but we won that title on the pitch. The previous season, Celtic were awarded their title in a Zoom call. Okay, I've got my point.
Brian, it was more just Celtic fans saying it was like a criticism to say like that season showed how you can go from being strong to suddenly not being strong. Not everything needs to be this like sort of point scoring Celtic Rangers thing. So let's not worry about it.
I disagree with you, Gordon. It's a comfort blanket for them.
Brian, if you listen to the calls, think of the context of them. That's what it was. It was about when Celtic stopped winning compared to winning. That is honestly all it is. If you think we were debating the finer details of COVID seasons today out of nowhere, then that clearly we weren't.
Okay then. Okay, now going to my point. Sometimes you get things get to a really, really low point, and certainly the first 20 minutes Tuesday night was certainly the lowest point for Rangers this season. I think the only way going out is up the way. Now this is my opinion, of course. I think we'll start by winning and performing at St Mirren tomorrow. I agree with you, we've probably given ourselves too much, and Brews, they're a good side. I think we'll be trying to do it, but it might just be too much for us. And the game at Ibrox next week will take care of itself.
Hugh, listen, it's prediction time, that's fine. Brian reckons Rangers might win tomorrow. They may well. Russell Martin could really be doing with it, couldn't he? Just change things a little bit for him.
Without question. He's under severe pressure. Brian will obviously be in his corner, but I would say that the majority of Rangers fans are on Russell Martin's case. Therefore, he needs to win against St Mirren and needs to beat Celtic for the ship to be steadied. If he wins both of those matches, he's back on course, particularly the Celtic game. But tonight, the last thing you think about is that Celtic have that 7-point lead, and Rangers agreed to play St Mirren after, first of all, thinking about postponing the match because they couldn't have it that Celtic came to Ibrox with the possibility of going 10 in front. So Russell Martin absolutely has to win that game tomorrow.
Brian is hoping that Tuesday's first half was rock bottom, Gordon, and the only way is up. I mean, naturally, because this is the way opinions work, some people will see that it was just a continuation. You know, it's a worry going forward that those things might be repeated. So only time will tell.
Yeah, it is a worry. If you're a Rangers fan just now, you are worried because there's a big majority of the fans turned against the manager already, and we keep talking about we're only still in August. He's got massive games coming up. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever he can overturn that in Belgium. So his next two league games are so, so important to him, and he has to at least perform. I think if he wins tomorrow, and I would still fancy Rangers. I know it'll be difficult in Paisley. I know the way St Mirren go about their business, they'll be very hard to beat. But I still think Rangers will have enough quality to win the game. And then even if he gets a draw next week or anything more, then he can settle down and start his Rangers career for me.
Brian, what is it in particular that gives you the faith tomorrow is the start of turning things around?
Well, second half against Blues, and yes, they probably did drop off, but we played with a lot more intensity, scored a good goal. That was the other thing I was thinking. Danilo, bear in mind, has not played regularly for Rangers because of injuries, but he's been used a lot pre-season, beginning of the season, because of other injuries. That will give him confidence. I thought the left back they brought in, I thought he brought his balance to the team. Gassama, I thought, was excellent in the second half. And Asgard, he's one of the players, when we brought him in, I had a wee look at him. And obviously in YouTube, you know, you see the best bits, but he looked a player that can sniff out chances from midfield and you know, get into space. Obviously defensively we're going to need to, you know, tighten up, but I always believe that a team's defence starts for your centre forward. If he's not doing his job, and then, you know, there's problems, you're letting the team come on to you. And the only goal on Wednesday, sorry, Tuesday, that I blamed Russell Martin is the Zola Martin for the second goal. I feel that, see, if that continues not to work, I think we should ditch it and go with Man Martin.
Cammy, what do you think about tomorrow generally? Because we always, St Mirren have earned the right for it to be considered a sort of nightmare place to go. Yep. We'll see that play out tomorrow.
No, listen, Paisley's a tough place to go, and it has been over the last few years. It's not just recently in Rangers' situation. It's a tough place for anyone to go. But listen, I think Rangers, they need to turn the corner at some point. For me, the biggest worry is defensively. They're giving up far too many opportunities, and if they do that tomorrow again, they'll lose goals, and it puts themselves in a real vulnerable position that they need to then go and score more than the opposition. So they need to tighten up. The next three games, tomorrow, starting tomorrow, they need to make sure they're not giving as many opportunities to the opposition. Certainly midweek, if they want to give themselves any hope, they need to be much more tighter defensively, and that goes for the Old Firm game as well at the weekend.
I've said this, Gordon, it depends if you're talking the literal meaning of it, as in bookies' favourites. I think it will still be Rangers. It's just funny how this is built up very quickly into lots of people really fancying, you know, St Mirren, and you wonder if you're Stephen Robinson, does that suit you? Do you wear that like a badge of honour that it's perceived that you can really cause Rangers problems, or do you actually prefer when, you know, when you're under the radar a bit?
Yeah, I think you like to be under the radar and surprise everyone, Gordon. I still, as much as it is a difficult game, we'll all recognise that. You're right to say they've earned the right to make it a difficult game because the way they set up their organisation. I just think the way things are, Rangers will just have slightly enough tomorrow to win that.
How do you see it going, Hugh?
Yeah, I think Rangers will have enough tomorrow. I'm not saying the corner has to be turned sometime because it's what you do. Nature won't take care of you. But I do think that overall, they've got too much for St Mirren. They need to start demonstrating that that is the case, though.
Yeah, I agree with the guys. I think they'll get over the line tomorrow and hopefully they can start building on that.
Okay, that is pretty much us for Saturday afternoon. Thank you to Cammy Bell, Gordon Dalziel and to Hugh Keevans. The biggest thanks, as always, does go to you for listening, for calling, for tweeting, however you interact. Even if you don't interact at all, it's great to have you listening. Don't forget you can catch up wherever you get your podcasts. It's been a good day of football. Celtic, 8 changes, so much negativity surrounding the place and the board and the transfers, but a very comfortable 3-0 win. Johnny Kenny and a double from Benjamin Negrin before they head off to Kazakhstan tomorrow. An early game of the season contender at Tynecastle, was it? Motherwell 3-0 up and cruising. Hearts fighting back to draw it 3-3, and a bit more of a bland affair at Kilmarnock and Dundee, goalless there. A big win for Partick Thistle in the Championship. And the weekend is not over yet, as the guys have discussed. St Mirren Rangers tomorrow. Make sure you join Andrew McLean and the guys on here tomorrow as well to reflect on that. I will speak to you Monday, and enjoy the rest of your night. You know who's up next. It's the GBX.